The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I had had a conversation with Art where I had to say, I can love you and I will work on forgiving you, but I will not share you. I really thought our marriage was over because of choices that I finally realized I can't work harder on him than he's working on him.
After Lisa Turkhurst endured devastating heartbreak, she realized the process and goal of forgiveness. Next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh, and I'm so glad you're joining us. You know, one of the perks of the job, if you like, is that sometimes I'll get an early release copy of a book. This book just came out, and you can grab a copy today. But when I read this book, parts of it made me smile, but a lot of it brought me to tears, and a lot of it I had to say, okay, I'm putting that down for the minute, because I need to think about this. It's that kind of book. And so please welcome my guest, Lisa Turkhurst, Forgiving What You Can't Forget.
Thank you, Sheila.
How long did it take you to write this book?
Well, I spent about 6 months resistant to wanting to forgive. So that was not very convenient when I was wanting to write a book on forgiveness, but no. Refusing to forgive myself and trying to walk through the process, but feeling like surely there is an exception. Surely there's a loophole in the Bible. I mean, God really can't have given us this principle, this cornerstone of our faith, of forgiveness. I mean, surely he didn't mean always. And so I spent over 1,000 hours studying what the Bible actually does say and does not say about forgiveness. And forgiveness is a command by God, but it is not a cruel command. It's actually his divine mercy, but it took me about 6 months to even warm up to that idea because I was so hurt.
Yeah.
And then it took me about another 8 months to write it.
I wondered at what point in your journey, because your journey wasn't, as you said on the other program, a devastating situation of repentance and a restoration. It was a long process. When did you actually determine to pursue forgiveness?
Okay, well, I did not decide to pursue forgiveness. I decided I needed help.
Oh, that's smart.
And so I went to my counselor, and this was after, I think it was in still very much in the trauma season of my marriage, where I thought we were about done with healing from the affair and the addictions that my husband had chosen and that were so out of his character. I mean, it was just shocking on every level. So I had had a conversation with Art where I had to say, I can love you and I will work on forgiving you, but I will not share you. And I really thought our marriage was over because of choices that I finally realized I can't work harder on him than he's working on him. Yeah. And so I went to my counselor and I was devastated. I hadn't taken a shower in several days. I couldn't remember when the last time was that I'd washed my hair, you know? So it was one of those seasons of life.
Which is so not you.
It's so not me. And I remember walking into the counselor's office and thinking, I don't even know when the last time was that I actually put deodorant on, and that's not acceptable. So I went into the bathroom and found some peach air freshener under the sink. And I'm a resourceful person. So I went into that counseling session smelling like a freshly baked peach cobbler. And my counselor looked at me and he said, Lisa, do you want to heal? And I said, yes, I do. And he said, then today's a great day to start working on forgiveness. And I remember looking at him and thinking, are you crazy? Are you high? Like, what? Like, if you said today's a great day to work on my personal hygiene, I would say, yes, you are a good counselor. You are an intuitive counselor. Yes, I need to work on that. But forgiveness? Mm. Absolutely not. I don't know how the story is going to turn out yet. I don't even think that he's sorry. I don't even think that it's going to be possible for us to reconcile. And I'm not done hurting. And also, I'm not even sure that I want to forgive.
Right.
And if I forgive, is that me saying that what happened didn't matter? Because it does matter.
Yeah.
Or is that me betraying myself mm-hmm. and saying I wasn't really hurt by this? Because I was devastated by this. And so if I forgive, doesn't that mean yeah. that at that point I'm saying it's okay? It wasn't okay. And so, no, I remember looking at my counselor saying, absolutely not. I'm not going to work on forgiveness. And that's when he looked at me and said, okay, Lisa, let's just start with the pain. Let's just start with your pain. And he handed me this little stack of 3x5 cards. It actually wasn't little. It was pretty tall. And he said, just start writing how you were hurt. And just write one thing on each card and then lay the card down on the floor. Well, Sheila, I had so much hurt. So much hurt. And so finally, when I'd written the very last thing down, I really couldn't think of another thing. I looked, there were cards all over the floor. And I looked over at my counselor, and he did the best thing that someone can do when someone's hurting because of their life being shattered like mine was. And he simply looked back at me with tears in his eyes, and he said, I believe you. And it was such a gift to my heart.
I totally get that.
And he said, Lisa, what has happened to you was wrong, and it was hurtful. And I guess I just want to say today to anyone who might be really tracking with my story, maybe your story is not even like mine, but maybe it's just that you have been hurt too. You deserve to stop suffering mm-hmm. because of what other people have done to you. And if no one else in this world has dared to bear witness to your pain, I will. What happened to you was wrong. And I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for how they hurt you. I'm so sorry they didn't love you the way that you should have been loved. And I just want to say to you, forgiveness is not another hard thing that you have to do. Forgiveness is the pathway to healing. And I want to show you it's possible. It really is possible.
One of the things that most resonated with me as an emotion, you said that when your reaction is hysterical, it's historical. I just put the book down at that point because I thought of the number of times I've reacted to something that Barry, my husband, has done mm-hmm. out of all proportion to actually what he's done. And it makes me realize, at what point in your journey did you get that this is not just all about art?
I think it was just like you described, when something happens and you have an out of proportion reaction. Mm-hmm. And I'm not usually a person that gets so emotionally charged that I just lose it.
No.
You know, that's just not usually what happens to me, but it kept happening to me. And I kept getting triggered in my pain. And what I started to realize is triggers are very inconvenient. It's not like I can schedule them on my calendar. Like on Tuesday evening, I'll be sitting in the bathtub and I'll have my own communion set up. And, you know, it's like nobody can see me. And so, yes, in that moment, I'll get triggered in my pain and be by myself and deal with it. That's not how it happens.
Yeah.
I mean, triggers happen when I'm standing in the grocery store line and my phone sends me one of those memory movies from here's what happened 4 years ago this day. And those kind of memories are precious until they cause so much grief and they're reminders of so much loss that they trigger you.
Yeah.
And I remember one time I was at the grocery store and I got so triggered by something that no one else in the world would have ever known would have caused an internal emotional meltdown in me. And I literally just laid across the bananas, like in the middle of the produce aisle, and I was weeping. And, you know, they do not pay the produce guy enough money to deal with somebody like this, you know. And he came up and said, can I help
oh my
you?
Gosh.
And I remember standing in the grocery store, and I'm sure he was like, woman, you are bruising our bananas, you know.
And you will only eat a banana that's not bruised.
That's right.
I remember that.
It was a walking contradiction in every aspect. But I remember him saying, can I help you? And I just looked back at him and said, I wish you could. And I had to leave my cart, leave the grocery store. And so, yes, I like that my counselor equipped me with that saying. When it's hysterical, not hysterical like ha-ha funny, but hysterical as in a flood of emotions that you just can't rein in. When it's hysterical, it's historical, because unhealed pain from the past will travel and find the present hurts of today, and it will multiply that whatever that story is that we're telling ourselves. We all have a story that we're living, and then we all have a story that we're telling ourselves. And we've just got to make sure that the story that we're telling ourselves actually lines up with truth, because most of the time it doesn't.
You talk about a father that was very absent when you were growing up. You talk about abuse from a neighbor. And it was interesting because through this whole book and this journey, you talk about still your age and with your, I mean, every single one of your books is a New York Times bestseller. I mean, you just have this phenomenal gift for writing and connecting. But you made some comment in there that sometimes you still feel, question whether you're worth loving. Mm-hmm. And that kind of blew me away. In the midst of this process, has the determination to forgive helped heal that part of you?
You know, I think what all this that I've learned with forgiveness has done for me, it has empowered me to understand I don't have to live as a victim to all of the abuse and heartbreak and circumstances that I didn't choose.
Right.
And I think that's what has been so freeing for me, is because for so long, I felt like if other people didn't make different choices, I would never be able to heal.
Yeah.
And I'm realizing I can unhitch my ability to heal from their choices and let their choices be their own, but I can be empowered to forgive. And that day in the counselor's office, after I laid out all of those cards, my counselor said, now that you've gotten all this pain out and you can see it, this is how you forgive, Lisa. You just go card by card by card and just individually have a marked moment where you say, I now forgive this person for this hurt. And all those cards that day were affiliated and associated with the hurt that I had gone through with my marriage. But I could also see, sometimes I would get to a card and I could see, oh, this isn't just about art. This is about art. This is about my dad. This is about my grandfather. This is about the boy in high school that said something that I have remembered to this day that hurt me so deeply, that tainted the way that I even talked to myself in my own head. So it was so freeing. But forgiveness, I think what I didn't understand for so long is I thought forgiveness added to my suffering.
Interesting.
But in reality, it's the only way, forgiveness is the only way we can sever the source of suffering so we can start healing. And so I went card by card by card and said, I forgive this person for this. But my counselor equipped me with this added statement. He said, and whatever my feelings will not yet allow for, the blood of Jesus will surely cover.
Oh, I love that. Wow.
And the reason that's so important is because I wanted to forgive, but I didn't want to feel fake.
Yeah.
And yeah. I would come upon some things, a lot of things, and my feelings were not yet signing on to this process yet. And I didn't want to just say, okay, I'm doing this because I'm checking off this good Christian checklist of things.
Right.
Like, be nice, forgive, don't cuss, play Christian music, you know? And it's like,
it's my top four.
Right? And so I didn't want to feel like I was faking it,
yeah.
Especially not in front of God. Mm-hmm. But I realized that's the beauty of what Jesus did for us. We can make the decision to forgive because of what he did. And whatever my feelings will not yet allow for, the blood of Jesus will surely cover it. So that is how I made the decision to forgive. But also, Sheila, have you ever been in a situation where, okay, you've made the decision to forgive. No one can take that away from you. You've been obedient to God. But then that person says something or does something, and even though you've forgiven them, you're like, oh, no, you didn't. Oh, and then all those feelings of anxiety and frustration and anger, they just flood back on top of you. So also we have to remember we make the decision to forgive, but we also have to walk through the process of forgiveness.
I think that's huge.
It's really huge, and it helped me so much. Just because you have those feelings that come back, that doesn't make you a forgiveness failure.
Right.
It means you forgave for the fact of what happened. That was a decision, and that was your obedience to God. But now you have to walk through the process of forgiving for the impact.
Right.
The emotional cost that that had on you was great. And that process of forgiveness can take a long time. But when you get triggered, you don't have to be hijacked by that trigger. You can have another marked moment, and you can say, okay, I now forgive this person for the impact that they've had on me, and whatever my feelings will not yet allow for, the blood of Jesus will surely cover it.
One of the things I found very healing about some of the things you wrote was, you know, when I, as your friend, first heard, I was like, you know, I'm going to fly there, and I'm going to hurt him and then ask Jesus to forgive me. But you talk about you realizing that you both had things that you needed forgiveness for. That's, I mean, that's moving way further down the line. Because when somebody has obviously decimated your life, then they are the bad guy. But you saw things in a different perspective.
Well, I couldn't at first. And I think in counseling, whenever Art would say something like, well, you know, Lisa, you need to work on things too, I was so resistant to it because I was afraid that if I said, yes, I have things to work on too, that I was saying that because I had things to work on, that it gave him permission.
To do that.
Like it was okay to have an affair. And affairs are never okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did would have been a good call for counseling help, but it did not justify the affair. And then I remember in one particular counseling session. I did a lot of counseling on my own, but every now and then we would have counseling together. And many times those did not go well. But on this one time, the counselor looked at Art and said, you need to free her to work on what she needs to work on by owning that there was no excuse for the affair.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that. And that was a very courageous thing for Art to do. And he owned it. And slowly, I started to be able to feel like, okay, I can work on some of my stuff too. And what I started to realize is if I forever saw myself as the saint and Art as the sinner, I wouldn't be able to forgive him.
Right.
But when I started to recognize Jesus only calls us both to be servants. And in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, isn't it interesting how confession comes before forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God, forgive me for the sins that I have done, as I forgive others for the debts that they've created, the things they've done to me. Confession with God. If I think I need forgiveness and I know I need forgiveness, that's how his forgiveness flows to me. And then forgiveness is how it can flow through me. Confession is so beautiful. It quiets the chaos inside of me.
Yeah.
And forgiveness quiets the chaos between us.
As you can see, you're going to want to get hold of this book, and I will be glad to send it to you. But I would love if you would help us do something. As you know, here at Life Today, we're very committed to taking care of some of the very real needs around the world. And even as I sit here in the studio, there are mothers sitting with their children taking their last breath because they don't have enough food, and you and I can change that. Watch this.
What sort of choices could a child possibly make to go from looking like this to looking like this? It's not even fair to call them choices, but rather it is the lack of choice. Starving children have little to no options for food. While we usually think of progress as a positive trend, for children like these, the progression of malnutrition is measured by ever-increasing despair.
When I walked into the clinic today and I saw Pedro, my heart was just broken. It all goes back to that malnutrition, where there's no food, there's no nutrition in this village for these children like Pedro.
The pandemic of 2020 wreaked havoc on the world's economies and severely diminished the capacity of families in rural Africa to earn a living. Sadly, those most affected have been children, who are beginning to show the unmistakable signs of malnutrition brought on by a lack of food.
Without food, these children will not survive. They're not wondering, what are they going to eat tomorrow? They're wondering, are they going to eat tomorrow? So mission feeding is so important. It gets their life back to living. It gets them going to school.
Your gift of mission feeding today will reverse the course of malnutrition in a child like Pedro, and will be a gift of life for a special child who is desperate to live.
I'll never forget that first trip. I remember getting off the plane in Angola and kind of, you know, saying to the Lord, you know, open my eyes to see what you want me to see. And, you know, help me to notice the things that I might miss apart from you. There was no way I even needed to pray that prayer because the needs are so there. I mean, that first day that we walked into the malnutrition clinic, you know, one of the things that surprised me that I did not anticipate was the silence of the broken. You know, you expect if a child's in pain or a child is suffering, then there would be, you know, noise. But so many of these little ones who were laying in these beds in the malnutrition clinic, there was no noise at all. If anything, it was the mothers who were crying. And the children were just simply using all the energy they had just to take one more breath. And it was just horrifying to me because, you know, I thought half of us, I mean, if you think about us in America, most of us are on diets because we eat too much. And then you look at these children who are dying literally because they don't have one bowl of food a day. But then I got to go and meet our workers on the ground. And, you know, you saw a shot there of me being able to hand out the food. And I thought, well, before I hand it out to these children, I want to taste it myself because it looked like oatmeal. And it's not. It's a very special recipe that kind of gives all the nutrients and vitamins that children in that part of the world need. And the contrast between the malnutrition clinic on one day, where I literally went back to actually we were staying in tents and lay on my face and said, Lord, I don't know what to do here. And felt the Lord say, Sheila, get up. We're not done here. And then the next day, going to a village where we already have set up mission feeding and looking at the children the way you would look at children playing at school. Happy, their bright faces, you know, just interacting with one another. And all because of mission feeding. We have some amazing partners on the ground who are waiting right now because the commitment that we have made to them is that we will provide enough food for 350,000 children this year. And that sounds like a lot, but it's so doable because $30 will feed three children for 3 months. I mean, you couldn't get one meal for three children for $30 now. But in Africa, that's how far it goes. $50 feeds five children. $100 feeds 10 children. And honestly, for any gift you give today, we will send you Lisa's amazing new book, Forgiving What You Can't Forget. This will dive deep into your soul as you dive deep and reach out to those who desperately need your help. So please, will you call now? Will you give the very best gift you can? And let's get that help out to those children now in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Today, on top of the daily fight for life and food, families and children across Africa are now forced to deal with the challenges of a global health crisis. Because of COVID-19, food scarcity has increased drastically, and the fear of dying from lack of food is far greater than the virus itself. Even in these unprecedented times, mission feeding won't stop. With your help, mission feeding will continue to be a daily source of food, encouragement, and health for the 350,000 children counting on us. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 that will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you 40 Days of Healing Promises. This beautiful hardcover devotional will encourage you in your faith as you dive deep into the healing promises that are yours in Jesus' name. With your gift of $100 or more, please request a Blessings for Your Home Bowls and Tea Towels set. This set of bowls and two beautifully designed tea towels will make a wonderful addition to your home and serve as a reminder of your help in blessing others as a friend of life. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, my heart is just broken sitting here in this cemetery surrounded by graves that are, each and every one of them, graves for children. Little lives that have been stolen by malnutrition, children who've starved to death because they didn't have enough food. It truly breaks my heart. But you know what breaks my heart even more is the fact that we could have avoided this. We could have changed this. We could have stopped these graves from being filled with these little lives. We could have saved these children if we'd just been able to act in time. If we'd just been able to get to their village, take mission feeding and give them a bowl of food a day. I need your help today. I need you to help me to ensure that the next grave doesn't get filled with another child who died for no good reason. Please, give a gift of life today. Give the gift of mission feeding. If you can give $30, $50, or $100, you can save 3, 5, or 10 children. 10 children's lives that are relying on you. 10 mothers that are saying, please, please give that gift today. Please help save my child's life.
Thank you so, so much. The lines are busy. Keep calling. Let's do this. And remember, for any gift at all, we will send you Lisa's book, Forgiving What You Can't Forget. This book weighs a lot because it cost you a lot. But I just want to thank you for the way that you're going to help so many of us move forward in our journey to healing.
Thank you, Sheila.
So thanks for being with us. And you might want to get 2 copies. Get one for a friend. If you know somebody's hurting and can't forgive, this would be an ideal gift. So till the next time, I'm Sheila Walsh saying goodbye and God bless you.
It is at the place of surrender that purpose is found.
Sam Collier tells his story of abandonment and rescue next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.